Welcome to the Vanderbilt University Health and Wellness Podcast. Here's Jennifer Smithson with the Child and Family Center.
Today I'm with Donna Rosensteel. She is a licensed clinical social worker and program manager for the Vanderbilt Reynolds Geriatrics Education Center. She will be speaking on long-distance caregiving.
When you're dealing with long-distance caregiving, how does a person go about finding services in other areas?
A great way to identify resources near where a family member lives is to start here, actually, at Vanderbilt with our own employee assistance program, also known as an EAP. It's called Work-Life Connections. Work-Life Connections has trained staff to help identify resources in other areas of the country and also to provide general information about caregiving to employees. It is possible to get help with identifying what the needs are. It can be difficult to know what the needs are from a long distance. Talking with the physician of the loved one, perhaps even hiring a private geriatric care manager to do an assessment. This is a professional social worker or nurse whose job is to go into the situation in the home and assess what the functional status is of the loved one and what assistance may be needed to keep them safe in the home. One can find a geriatric care manager through the National Association of Professional Geriatric Care Managers.
You mentioned talking to the physician of the older adult. What is a way that they could more effectively communicate with the physician?
There are a lot of different situations that can arise depending on the medical status of the older adult. I would say the most important factor is already having an existing relationship with the physician or other care provider before an emergency happens. So I would say it's very helpful to appoint one person in the family to be the family contact with the physician. Physicians' offices are often confused if there's more than one family member calling and asking about medications or other medical status questions, which can make it more difficult to maintain good communication with the doctor. It is important to get the permission of the patient to allow the doctor to speak with the loved ones about the medical status. Patients can sign a form that allows the doctor to speak with the loved one. I would also say it is important to find out the best way to communicate with the doctor. Does the doctor prefer to get emails or to fax a note or to call? Different doctors prefer different ways of communication. And patience is necessary because doctors are very busy people. They have a number of different things going on. Do try to give them a little time to get back to you, a day or two, if there's not an emergency. And if you don't hear back, then make the contact again and have some persistence. I should also add that it is not necessary for the patient to have signed a release for you, the caregiver, to provide information about the patient to the doctor.
It's always very nerve-wracking when you get that call in the middle of the night saying that something has happened to your mother or your father, and you're trying to decide, okay, what do I do? How can the caregiver kind of plan ahead for that emergency?
Communication among the family members and with the older adult who is receiving the care is important to try to get everyone as much as possible on the same page about who the doctor is, where the hospital is that the patient prefers, and also just what the general needs are. If there is a local person, a loved one nearby, that can be usually the person who would be sort of the point person and can communicate with the rest of the family members in an emergency. I would suggest that everyone, not just older adults, but all of us should complete a healthcare proxy or healthcare power of attorney form. This is a form that a patient fills out that gives legal ability to a loved one to make medical decisions on their behalf in the event they're not able to do so for themselves. That's a very important form. Going along with the healthcare proxy or healthcare power of attorney is a living will. And this is a document that basically is like instructions from the patient to the healthcare proxy saying, in this situation, I would like this done or not like this done. It basically lays out kind of a roadmap, if you would, to the healthcare proxy to give them guidance about what you would want in the event you're not able to say yourself what you would like.
Are there any other suggestions for the caregiver, such as support? How to put a support system in place or other resources that they might have available to them?
I think it's very important to maintain a support system, friends, family. Also, I would say formal support groups can be very helpful. And there are caregiver support groups that not only provide the camaraderie or emotional support of people going through the same thing, but a lot of practical information. It's so easy for caregivers to put their own needs second. And research has shown that caregivers do suffer health consequences as a result of not going to the doctor for themselves, as a result of chronic stress. So it's very important to take care of oneself so that you're there to take care of the person you love.
Thank you so much for sitting down and talking with me and giving us some very helpful and useful information.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you have any comments or story suggestions, please email us at health.wellness@vanderbilt.edu or visit our website, www.healthandwellness.vanderbilt.edu, and click on the podcast link.